In the name of the Father, and the Son, the Holy Spirit, one God, to whom is glory forever. Amen. The Gospel today from the Gospel of St. Luke, verses 1 to 11. And we'll summarize the story quickly, and then may God send us all a word of benefit for the sake of my weak self and the congregation as well. The Lord's service on earth, he did not have to fly. He did not have to eat magically. He did not have to live in magical way where he creates food and eat it. He lived normally. He lived as any human. He subjected himself to the futility of the creation after the creation fell. We get hungry, we get sick, we get tired, we get sleepy. Perfect man, yet without sin ever. So his fame began to grow, and the multitude started to press him. Is it because they want to listen to him? Maybe because they said at some point that he talks with an authority, not like the Pharisees. Is it because they want healing? Another good reason. Sometimes we follow God because we want something from him. No matter what the reason is, Christ was loved among the people. And I'm sure all of you love God and love Christ. So you follow him and you press after him and you come to church early and you come and look forward to the communion. This is great, but then sometimes God puts us in crossroads in a moment of decision making. And then this is the moment of test. Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? The moment of test starts today in this Gospel of St. Luke, where the Lord is inviting very prominent disciples, St. Peter and St. Andrew, and St. John and St. James, his brothers. The fishing at night, they usually go out with a boat. The boat has a torch of light. That light reflects on the surface of the water, and then they see fish. And with a very quick fling of the net, they throw the net on the fish. The edges of the net have lead on it or some weight that brings the net down, and it wraps around the fish, and then they pull it and do it. And they are experts at that because this is not the first time they go out fishing. That night, they found that their experience in life and their talents and their strength in their business profited nothing. And this is a moment where somebody would complain. And they said, not in a complaining voice, but in a pleading voice, Lord, we toiled all night and we did not catch one fish. Now, they come from a fishing night, a very long night. The Lord gives a sermon. They said, okay, sermon is over, we're going home to sleep. Then comes the request from God saying, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. But we're the experts. We've been doing this all our life, the youth, and we're tired. We accommodated you for using our boats for the sermon because the people pressed him. So in order for not the people to press him and to have like an amphitheater effect, he went into the boat and the people sat on the shore, and the Lord was giving them his blessed words. So Simon Peter, being the prominent and really the one who fast to talk and fast to confess also good things, in a way, he says, what's the point? We know what we're doing. But Simon Peter shows us also that he is a material of being a disciple. Fabiul, nevertheless, although my experience and my life and my faith tells me I should not do this, go down and throw the net again, because I will not get anything. It's at night where we do the fishing. But nevertheless, at your word, Lord, because you said it, I'll do it. I'll put all my experience aside. I'll put my common sense aside. I'll put what the stage of this world mandates of me at school, at college, at work, on TV, on the internet, all of the wisdom of this world, which St. Paul calls it the foolishness of the gospel, beat the wisdom of this world in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, that the world in its wisdom did not know God. The world in all of its wisdom did not know God. The wisdom says, it doesn't make sense. It doesn't make any sense. Everything doesn't make sense. Yes, true, everything spiritual does not make sense. Agbeya, if you don't taste it, and you say, I'll pray my own words, and we say, no, stick with the words of the psalm. There is a book in the Bible called the Book of Prayer, that's Psalms, where you speak to God by His language. God speaks to us by the Holy Spirit. You speak back to Him by the Holy Spirit. What did the Holy Spirit say as prayer? The Psalms of our teacher David the prophet. Stick with it. Doesn't make sense. I want to say what is in my heart. Yes, افعلوا هذه ولا تتركوا تلك. In St. Matthew chapter 23, verse 23, do this, fine, do your own prayer, but do not leave the others undone. Do also the Agbeya. We didn't say this annihilates the other. When they followed at your word, I will throw the net, they caught many, many fish. And I think their boats were small. If you read Josephus in history, Beul, at Gennesaret Lake, there is usually 230 boats for fishing. So the business between St. Peter and St. Andrew with their partners, St. James and St. John, with their parents, did not have a shipyard, but they had a couple of boats, didn't exactly specify, but usually maybe each family had one. And then when they caught that much fish, the abundance of their business on that day, as if their boats were going to fall. And on the day of the booming business, St. Peter, his heart is touched by God. It has the good effect of him. Lord, I don't deserve this blessing. Whether, same as St. Paul Beul, Philippians 4, اتعلمت أن أفتقر وأن أستغني. I taught myself to be poor and to be rich. It doesn't matter anyway. So St. Peter was touched by this booming business and said, I don't deserve this. I don't deserve that because I listened to you, you immediately give me that much fish. Who am I to respond to me that quickly? I should pray harder, but you responded very quickly. Please, I am a sinful man. And the Lord, knowing the heart of these people, that these are going to be our popes in the future, and we have their icons written above the highest part of the church. Beulah, don't worry. Don't worry. And Jesus said to Simon, do not be afraid. From now on, you will catch men. Tamma, let me enjoy my business a little bit. Why don't you come every day and give us some fish? No, this shows you that I will take care of you. If you want to eat, I'll feed you. If you want to drink, I'll give you drink. But focus on me. Focus on my children. And that's why after the resurrection, he asked him, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? And he said, yes, I love you. And three times asking him, till Simon felt, what's going on, Lord? You know that I love you. Yeah, but what you did before the cross, I had to reestablish that commitment that you said when the first day I chose you, Lord, get out of my boat. I am a sinful man. I was checking, هل تركت محبتك الأولى? Did you leave your first love or you still are sticking to it? So the Lord established him again after the resurrection. Although we fail and fall into the worst sins ever, but the Lord is still asking me, do you love me? So when they had brought their boats to the land, they forsook all, تركوا كل شيء وإيه? They forsook all and followed him. And I keep wondering, Lord, many families forsake things for you, whether they like it or not. Please don't leave them. They forsake sleep and come to the church. They forsake being in the first place and they are humble at home. They forsake their pride and they wash the feet. They forsake. Accept this sacrifice. Receive it from them. Help them that they love you more and more. Receive the small things that they offer. Receive the sacrifice of the people who forsake their pride and come and confess. Receive the sacrifice of the people who are not at good terms with others and they go and apologize first, even if they are not at fault. Receive these sacrifices and make it grow and multiply. Then how can I prove to God that I always love Him? First, never, two things. Never keep your eyes off the cross. If you have any slight doubt of God's love to you, look at the cross and contemplate on it. If you are the only one in the New Testament that's existing, God would not find any hesitation to come and save you alone. Number two, patience. Sabr. Yeah, I know the people as they get older, they know the meaning of this word a lot. When you were young, we want everything quick. And of course, the rate of advancement of technology outside helps to remove the patience, not to increase it. Things are faster in order to remove the patience, in order to get things when you want it now. And if you wait on it a little bit, there has to be another technology that makes it come sooner. We don't call this haram. We just call the wisdom of this world walks a little bit opposite to the wisdom of the church. And that's why when people discuss why there are hymns in the church, we have a spiritual competition at the diocese in Los Angeles where all the churches participate. Taban, it helps and all the churches are close in the same geographical area or close by. And then one of the songs that we had to do for the hymns chapter of the competition for high school level was Tencino. And I got the blessing of doing Tencino and I learned it in the process. And then I found people that were not, I did not think at all they would do hymns participating. And it clicked very clearly. Hymns in the church, as you're learning it, in order to sing like 5 or 6 minutes, you sit like 20 hours to learn these 5 or 6 minutes. That is called discipline. That is called opposite to the spirit of the world. The world is making everything faster, shorter, shorter, faster. And the church is moving into the opposite direction. No, let's discipline our souls. Let's sit and focus. Let's do these hymns that take a little bit of while. And in learning them, there is the discipline of the soul. It has an amazing amount of discipline when you learn hymns. Why am I saying this? I'll link it to what St. Paul said in Philippians chapter 3. Be all to the Philippians to imitate him. And he says, there are many disciples that I used to mention to you frequently. Now I mention them to you crying, weeping. And as Alan alayhum, what happened to them? They became the enemy of the cross of Christ. Can I love Christ and dislike his cross? Yes. Unfortunately, many Christians, they say, I love God, but I don't like his cross. He describes later on, I will explain this shortly, الَّذِينَ نَهَيَتْهُمَ الْهَلَكِ, that their end is their destruction. They have three characteristics. Their stomach is their belly. Their glory is in things that are shameful. They are nailed on things of the earth. هم أعداء صليب المسيح الذين نهايتهم الهلاك إلههم بطنهم مجدهم في خزيهم الذين يفتكرون في الأرضيات. So I asked myself and the youth, do you love Christ alone, separated from the cross? That won't happen. Christ is never separate from the cross. hymns, if you call it a cross, if you may call it a cross, taban, the deacon will never agree to this, because it's, once you learn it, it becomes very enjoyable. But it's a cross to learn it. Number one that makes a person dislike the cross, or a small test to the cross, is fasting. Is your stomach your God? Do you worship your stomach? Sounds funny, but that's what the Bible says as the characteristic number one of the enemies of the cross. لما الفاستنج يجي and I say, I don't like the food. Well, there is a red flag being risen about your personality. You might be starting the road of, I am enemy of pain. I am enemy of carrying the cross. I love God, but I don't like fasting. They are inseparable. Number two, their glory is in their shame. Things that are shameful outside are glorious to them. There are some sins, I cannot mention them because of the presence of young kids in the church. It might be more suitable for youth meeting. But I'll mention something that's appropriate for all of us to hear about in chapter 19 of Leviticus, verse 28. Things that are now cool outside, people are glorying about it, besides some horrible sins I don't want to mention, but there are things that are we can share here. In verse 28, Be'ul, do not cut your body for a dead man. In your sadness, do not reach the point that you start cutting your flesh. And do not tattoo anything on it. It says, or I am the Lord. And if the Lord in the Old Testament, where the body was defiled and not resurrected, and من مس ميتا يمس شيئا نجسا, the one who touches a dead body touches something defiled, and he becomes defiled, and he needs purification process. And he said, do not draw anything on your body. How much more would it be in the New Testament, in the resurrected body? This is something that is against the cross of Christ, and it says their glory is in their shame. So sometimes we ask, what about the men who tattoo crosses on their hand? Very simple. In the Egyptian culture for men, it's not like here in Egypt, men, when they wear a cross, they have to tuck it inside the shirt. They cannot leave it outside. Women can, but the men, culturally, they tuck it inside. So a way to show their cross in another means, they resort to tattooing it on the hand or on the wrist. And that is really the motivation for it. It's another workaround in order to show the cross. But strictly speaking, he says, don't tattoo anything on your body. This is something outside. People use their bodies as canvas to draw on their life story sometimes. And the last thing, their mind is nailed on things on the earth. Some electronic thing comes out, I need to buy it. And then the next thing comes out and I want to buy it. And then my mind is always reading about acquisitions and buying and cars and houses and electronics and. And there is one of the sayings of the saints that said, حُبُّ الْمُقْتَنَيَاتِ يُزَعْقَ الْعَقْلِ وَالزُّهْدِ فِيهَا يَمْنَحُ اسْتِنَارَةِ. Wanting to belong, wanting to own things will mess up your mind, and belittling acquisition will give it enlightenment. So remember, St. Paul was crying about things, people who started well. The disciples said they left everything and followed him. They started very well. You're all baptized. Without you wanting it, you left everything and following Christ, especially when you serve in white in the liturgy. Later on, these people became enemy of the cross. Oh, we love Christ, but he didn't tell us about the pain that's involved. We didn't sign up for this. So the Lord, St. Paul said, their end is their destruction. Definitely, they will destroy themselves. Christ and the cross are attached. What separated them is the resurrection, is overcoming death. It's a package. It's a package. The one who does not come after me and deny himself and carry his cross cannot become my disciple. Well, the Lord knows the package. Later on it will be your vehicle that will get you into the kingdom of heaven. May God give you all, rewards you for your crosses and help you, because some people are carrying very heavy crosses. But definitely, you will see your judgment day, how much easier than the other people. If you're carrying a heavy cross, something that's really very difficult to carry, just remember, when the day you meet the Lord and everybody's crying because they are trying to find some good deeds to offer, you will be standing comfortable, you'll be standing assured, you'll be standing where the angel just looking at you and says, you're coming in, you're definitely coming in because of the cross that you carried your life. May God help you with all of them, and that you please try to carry on the cross of fasting joyfully. And the Lord will give you more and more joy through the fasting and through the hymns and through the church. To Him is glory with His good Father and the Holy Spirit forever and ever. Amen.